As part of the immigration bill, C-31, Stephen Harper's conservative government is cutting the federal health care services provided to refugees. Affected at the end of this month, on June 30th, refugees will no longer receive medication, emergency dental care, or glasses. Many refugees will have no access to preventative health care, and some refugee claimants in Canada will be denied even urgent or emergency care. Mike Dillon is a family doctor who has worked with newcomers in the core area of Winnipeg for nearly 20 years. He joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start by talking about the cuts that will affect all refugees, the cuts to medication, to dental, and to vision. How will this affect children who are adapting to school in Canada and adults who are trying to find work?
Well, it's going to be a big, huge deal. The program that we're talking about is something called the Interim Federal Health Program, and it's designed to help bridge the care for newcomers from the time that they arrive in Canada, anywhere in Canada, to the time they get well established as citizens of whatever province they live in under their provincial health care program and hooked up with whatever services may be in place. In Manitoba, for example, they have access to pharmacare care after they've been here for a certain period of time. And the idea is to make a level playing field for people who come here as newcomers. And it includes certain services that we know that are important for newcomers, things like dental care, vision care, mobility care, in addition to essential drugs for treating of, you know, infections or other acute illnesses as well as chronic diseases. That's been the case for the past number of years, and it's been considered to be a very successful program. And it's helped us as care providers make a smooth transition for our newcomer patients into the healthcare system and make sure that the playing field is level, people can get immunized and so forth. Our concern is that as of Canada Day, for example, people who have up to that point been able to get their insulin for their diabetes or their blood pressure medicine so that they don't have a stroke, or a pregnant woman with blood pressure problems in pregnancy is able to get her medicines covered by this program. As of Canada Day, these things will be taken away, and the government says that those aren't really priorities for us. They have a different set of priorities that we as healthcare providers think are somewhat misinformed and not very well thought out.
One of the other changes that's happening is to refugee claimants who currently do get health care while they're waiting for their claim. And with the changes for all of these claimants who don't have access to provincial health care, they're not going to get any health care except in some cases urgent or emergency care. What will this do for people who come here and may have or may develop chronic conditions in Canada?
Well, it's going to be a big problem. Certainly it's going to be a problem for these individuals and their families. And we have had experience with people like this in past before they've had the ability to get some of these services through this program, where we've had to literally sneak people in and out of emergency departments and make special arrangements with some of the specialists to provide services free of charge. And we've been collecting spare change from people that we work with to try to fund services that weren't covered. And one of the things that Minister Jason Kenney, who is the Minister of Citizenship and Immigration Canada, has been doing is he's been making a big case about people who are quote-unquote bogus refugee claimants. And those of us who've been involved in the care of newcomers, in particular refugees, over decades, realize that these so-called bogus refugee claimants are the vast minority of people that we deal with. And in fact, when we ask people around Winnipeg if we have had any experience with so-called bogus refugee claimants, none of us have. We don't know who those people are. We have had people who have been in the process of applying for refuge because perhaps they come from a country where their sexual orientation is a concern, and maybe this isn't a country that's high on Canada's list of concerns in general on basis of human rights, but for certain people, it can be a problem. Similarly, we've looked after people who've come from a country where to marry someone from another branch of your faith is something that will end up in potentially your death or the death of your family. So those are the sorts of claimants that we see, people who aren't necessarily coming here as pre-approved refugees, but for reasons of their own, have very valid and real concerns about their health and safety in their country of origin. So when they come here, it is only reasonable to provide them the same basic health care services that we provide for other citizens of our province and other citizens of Canada while they are trying to make their claim. What Minister Kenney seems to be doing is trying to make drive a wedge between people who are coming as refugee claimants and the rest of us, and the rest of us being typical Canadians who are upset that people coming as refugee claimants are taking our tax dollars and going to town with that, which is not the case.
One of the other wedges that it appears the government's trying to do is divide refugee claimants into those from countries where there's legitimate reasons and those that they're calling the safe countries. And we talked about it last week on the show that it appears that Kenny's going to designate some Central European countries as the safe countries, countries like Hungary, Czech Republic, I think, even though certain groups like the Roma do face persecution there. And so with this, you know, my understanding is if you're on this list of safe countries, then you have very limited access to health care. And it seems, from my understanding, only if there's a public safety emergency or you're a danger to someone else. Has the government said what should happen if someone from one of these countries presents themselves at a hospital with an emergency like a heart attack?
They haven't really said that. What they're saying is, when people show up with concerns, we can go to the Citizenship Immigration Canada website and look over a table of the sorts of things that someone may be eligible for or may not be eligible for. They make reference to the concept of the designated countries of origin, which at this point is still a work in progress. So it's almost indecipherable for me as someone who's working in healthcare to know what is available for whom from which country, because basically their list is still under construction and they say stay tuned for details. So we can't even inform people very well of what to expect because we don't know what the countries will be. But as you mentioned, there does seem to be a little bit of a slant, and certainly Jason Kenney has said this publicly, that the Roma people, especially Roma people from Hungary, are being targeted as a particular group of people who seem to be violating the system and coming as bogus refugee claimants and telling all their friends to come over here and make refugee claims in Canada because they get free health care and eyeglasses and medicines. In our experience, and I was on a coast-to-coast teleconference last night with my colleagues in every major center in Canada, none of this is based on any experience that any of us have had. And we were talking and representing all of the major refugee health care providers in the country. This is not our experience. Jason Kenney has some ideas based on we don't know what, because he's not backing it up with anything. But what he's doing is saying that because of some anecdotal experiences that he has access to that he's not really sharing with us, he's making huge, huge changes to the care for most of the legitimate refugees and refugee claimants that we see in our day-to-day practices. And there are people out in the streets beside you, in this university, in my clinic, who are getting some of the benefits of these services right now. As of Canada Day, ironically, Canada will be pulling the rug out from underneath their feet and leaving them on their own. Many people will have to go out with medicines, go without medicines, and go without other important issues. Kids in school won't have glasses, so they can't see the board, and they won't be able to learn English. People with mobility problems will have difficulty getting around because we'll be taking away their crutches and wheelchairs.
I imagine in the long term, if you're not treating conditions, that there are going to be healthcare costs, that probably a lot of them will be passed on to the provinces. Have any provincial governments spoken out against these changes?
Well, I think right now the political people in the provinces are holding their cards to their chest, although I am quite certain that in Manitoba, for example, there are concerns at the highest levels of the provincial government, because they realize in health and in family services and in citizenship and multiculturalism, each one of those departments in Manitoba will be taking their share of the services from the federal government, and they'll be having to pick it up. There's no cost savings here. This is a false economy. We as taxpayers are going to pay one way or the other, and a lot of these things are going to be put into Manitoba Family Services. So we're going to be basically telling people who arrive here, want to work, want to learn English, want to get some skills, we're saying, you know what you have to do? You have to go on welfare, because that's the only way we can help you out. You come here with, you know, $8,000 in travel debts that you got to start paying off immediately to the federal government. You can't pay for your medicines. The only thing we can ethically do is tell you to go on to welfare so that you can get your medicines paid for, or else you're going to have some very serious medical conditions and you're going to be a bigger burden on the system when you get sick with your diabetes or stroke or heart attack if we don't take care of it early.
You mentioned that you're part of a national coalition that's organizing around this, and there's a day of action coming up. In terms of the advocacy you're doing, have you thought about how to talk to Canadians about the benefits that providing health care to refugees provides to everyone, in that, you know, trying to counter the Conservatives' message that it's, you know, people getting more than the average person, and rather showing that, you know, when we provide adequate health supports, we all benefit as a society?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I couldn't summarize it better myself. That is exactly the kind of messaging that we're trying to do nationally from coast to coast. And on June the 18th, at noon in Winnipeg, we're trying to coordinate a day of action with our colleagues from across the country, where we're trying to bring these issues to the public eye. We're trying to say that issues related to healthcare for newcomer refugees are important. We are accepting newcomers. We're accepting refugees. We know that they contribute to our society. We have to treat them ethically. We have to treat them with the spirit that Canada is known for, of generosity and caring. And we're trying to say that we don't want the federal government to drive wedges between us and make more of an us and them society. All we have to do is look around downtown Winnipeg, for example, or Brandon or Morden-Winkler, and look at the benefits that we see culturally and economically and socially from having newcomers in our midst. Manitoba is vastly different over the past 10 to 20 years than it was, and we all benefit from it. We can look at our economy. We can look at things like housing sales. We can look at the way we have, you know, some of the lowest unemployment rates in the country. And a lot of that is attributable to the energy and spirit and economic power that is brought by bringing here highly motivated newcomers who want to be part of our society. Sadly, the federal government seems to be wanting to protect us from newcomers, and it seems a bit xenophobic, and it seems certainly short-sighted. And we're trying to say this isn't an us and them thing. This is an us and us thing.
Well, thanks for coming in today and talking about it. It's a really important issue.
I really appreciate it, and look forward to some information about our action on June 18th, which will be coast to coast.
I've been speaking with Mike Dillon, a family doctor who works in the core area of Winnipeg with refugees. And there's more information on the issue and on actions across the country at doctorsforrefugeecare.ca. And we will provide information on the location of the action on Monday, June 18th, probably next week. And we will post that on our website as well, muddandwater.org. You're listening to Mud and Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.